This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends, a chance to share old memories, play songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. One recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. See, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Hello, and welcome to At the Garden. I'm Kelly Nelson. And today I will be looking at the years 1966 to 1971 for Bruno Sammartino at Madison Square Garden. This was a turbulent time for wrestling in New York and for Vince McMahon Sr.'s promotion in general, with a mix of complacency and big changes throughout the time I will examine. For the sake of simplicity, I'll refer to Vince McMahon Sr. mostly as Vince McMahon throughout this episode. But before I start, I would like to thank everyone for the kind words about my initial attempts at solo podcasting. Thank you very much. I also greatly appreciate all the advice I've received to make the show better. This is a work in progress, and I'm still working out a lot of the kinks and experimenting with things. I apologize up front if some of the narration and music doesn't always gel together as well as it possibly could. As always, any and all feedback is welcome. So, without further ado, let's get started. ...1966 began with attendance up at the Garden from where it was at the end of 1965. On January 24th, 12,354 saw Bruno defeat Baron Mikel Cicluna by disqualification. The Maltese Baron was legitimately from Malta. He came to Toronto and fell into pro wrestling hanging out at a gym. He debuted in the early 50s, working as Mike Valentino. He wrestled for many years in Canada and around the USA under that name. He came to New York in the fall of 1965 and was given the Baron gimmick and was pushed huge. He defeated fellow heel and fellow Toronto-trained wrestler Waldo Von Erich at Madison Square Garden on December 13, 1965. Legend has it that he even pinned Bruno in a television tag team match in the lead-up to their Madison Square Garden encounter. I looked around, but couldn't find any evidence that this actually happened. The story may be confused with a March 23, 1966 match in Baltimore, where the Baron pinned Bruno with his feet on the ropes, a result that was overturned minutes later. Cicluna would come and go for several years before becoming a mainstay in the territory in 1972. He was a true titan of New York wrestling. A rematch was held February 21st, with 14,303 witnessing Bruno decisively beat Cicluna. On March 28th, 10,859 came to the Garden to see Bruno defeat Prince Iaukea, the future King Curtis Iaukea. This would be the last MSG show for 8 months. Operating with only one New York area telecast, after losing an outlet for his Washington, D.C. show in late 1964, a show featuring action from McMahon's Bridgeport, Connecticut tapings was canceled April 30th. McMahon was now dark in the New York area. He stopped promoting shows at the Garden until he could get on TV again. It took a few months, but eventually he signed a deal with WOR9 to feature his Washington telecasts, which started August 20th. McMahon wouldn't run another show at Madison Square Garden until November 7th, the first since March. 14,159 were on hand that evening to see Bruno defeat Bulldog Brower. Next month, December 12th, Bruno defeated Tank Morgan before 12,029 people. 1967 opened on January 30th, with San Martino defeating Toro Ortega before 14,760 people. Ortega, also known as Bull Ortega, was a well-traveled wrestler when he came to the territory in late 1966, pushed hard. Previously, he'd worked mostly in the West, in places like California, Portland, and Calgary. With the territory not exactly setting the world on fire, next, McMahon went back to a program that had proved successful years before. On February 27th, 13,827 came to see Bruno lose to Gorilla Monsoon by countout. This would be the first of three straight with Monsoon at the Garden. A month later, on March 27th, 17,395 spectators, the largest crowd in 2 years, came to see San Martino draw Monsoon. The blow-off would be on May 15th, but only 11,804 came to see Bruno defeat Monsoon. In between the second and third matches, McMahon's show on WOR9 had been moved to a less visible time slot, hence the lower attendance for the third match. His problems with New York area television would only worsen in the coming months.
Take a walk down Union Square. You never know who you're gonna find there. You gotta run, 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 run. Take a dragon too. Run, 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 run. Gypsy death for you. Hey, what to do?
After having to rely on a previous challenger for San Martino to carry things for a few months, a new contender had arrived in the territory and would challenge Bruno on June 19th. Japanese heel Professor Toro Tanaka was, like many men who would be billed from the land of the rising sun, actually from Hawaii. He wrestled mostly on the West Coast early in his career as Charlie Kalani. He took on the Professor Toro Tanaka persona in Australia in 1966. It was there that he encountered Bruno Sammartino, and Bruno was instrumental in bringing him to New York in early 1967. He was given a big push. He got over huge and would be a fixture in the territory off and on until 1978. 11,515 witnessed Bruno defeat Tanaka that evening, but he would be brought back July 31st, teaming with Gorilla Monsoon in a tag team match against Bruno and Spiros Arion before 10,891. The two teams met again on August 21st before 11,750. TV situation went from bad to worse. The show was canceled outright in August. A combination of no television, San Martino being overexposed, and a lack of interesting challengers led to the lowest attendance at Madison Square Garden since 1960. On September 25th, only 9,351 were in attendance for what was billed as the Battle of the Belts between San Martino and European champion Hans Mortier, another retread. Their rematch on October 23rd drew only 6,612, which was the lowest attendance at MSG since March 19th, 1960. That would prove to be the last show at MSG for 1967. But behind the scenes, McMahon had arranged a deal with a New Jersey UHF station, Channel 47, to carry his Washington telecast, starting on November 11th. He had gone 3 months promoting at MSG without television.
Mm-hmm. thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Change had become the theme of the day. On January 29th, 1968, 14,130 came to MSG to see Sammartino once again defeat Tanaka. The increase in attendance was partly due to the new television show, but the number was also inflated because many of these fans were here to say goodbye to an old friend, as this was the last wrestling show at the third Madison Square Garden. It was the end of a 42-year run. From Joe Stecker, Strangler Lewis, Jim Londos, Jim Browning, and Dana O'Mahony, to Argentino Roca, Vern Gagne, Buddy Rogers, and of course Bruno Sammartino. Through ups and downs, dark periods, and different promoters. The new Madison Square Garden was a $150 million complex, located at Penn Station on 8th Avenue and 33rd Street. It opened for business on February 11th, 1968, and the first wrestling show was February 19th. That evening, 12,989, below expectations, witnessed Bruno defeat Bull Ramos. On March the 11th, 13,148 saw Bruno defeat the Kentucky Butcher. On May the 20th, 10,506 were in attendance to see Bruno draw George Steele in 50 minutes. This was the first of several matches at Madison Square Garden between Bruno and Steele over the years, and also the first of many MSG main events over a 15-year period for Steele. Steele started in the early 60s under a mask as the student in the old Detroit territory. He came to Pittsburgh in early 1967 as George Steele for the first time. He then came to New York City in May 1968. The Animal would be another mainstay in the territory, performing there until the late 1980s. They met again on June 22nd, with 10,580 seeing Bruno defeat Steele decisively. Next, on July 13th, only 9,783 were in attendance to witness Bruno defeat the big cat Ernie Ladd by countout. On August 7th, Bruno teamed with Puerto Rican megastar Victor Rivera to defeat Gorilla Monsoon and Toru Tanaka. On September 23rd, attendance remained sluggish as only 9,382 witnessed Bruno defeat Rocky Fitzpatrick. Known everywhere else for several decades as Bob Orton, including New York in the early 60s, the father of Bob Orton Jr. and the grandfather of Randy Orton, Fitzpatrick played the gimmick of being a former state trooper. He also had Bobby Davis as his manager, a legend in the area. Davis had been a longtime manager in New York, beginning in the late 50s. He managed the Graham Brothers, Buddy Rogers, Gorilla Monsoon, Killer Kowalski, the Miller Brothers, Curtis Iaquea, and many, many others. Fitzpatrick would be one of his final charges, as he finally left the territory later in 1968. Next would be three straight matches against the Sheik. But with the territory in the doldrums, attendance for the three matches, where Bruno faced one of the hottest stars in wrestling, was not that impressive. The show on October 21st drew 10,443. 11,122 attended the November 18th show, and 10,943 witnessed the blow-off on December 9th. The Sheik, real name Ed Farhat, was a huge wrestling star from the 50s to the 70s. His peak as a draw in Detroit and Toronto in the late 60s and early 70s was legendary for huge box office. He wrestled off and on in New York prior to 1968, often as a featured attraction at MSG shows. It all came to an end on January 27, 1969, however. The Sheik was always known for having short, violent, bloody matches, often walking a very thin line between good heat and bad heat. After a match against Haystacks Calhoun at Madison Square Garden on January 27, 1969, the Sheik took a camera from a ringside photographer and smashed it. This caused a small riot to break out amongst the already heated crowd, and an elderly woman got hurt in the process. He was banned for 60 days by the New York State Athletic Commission, and this would be his last MSG match. He worked a few more matches in the territory in 1969, but other than a couple shots in Boston in 1972 against champ Pedro Morales, that would be it for him in the Northeast. The year 1969 would prove to be one of the lowest points for Vince McMahon Sr. as a wrestling promoter, and arguably one of the lowest points in company history. Attendance continued to sag, and creatively, McMahon seemed to be bankrupt, relying on past draws to main event for most of the year. Throughout all this, Bruno soldiered on, now in his sixth year as WWF champion. First show of the year was on January 27th. 11,568 came to see Bruno team with Rivera in a match against Killer Kowalski and Gorilla Monsoon. This would be the first of four straight main events against Killer Kowalski at MSG for Bruno. On February 17th, 9,639 saw Bruno and Kowalski go to a double disqualification. Then on March 7th, Bruno defeated Kowalski before 11,326. And finally, on May 14th, only 7,670 witnessed Bruno once again teaming with Rivera, this time to defeat Kowalski and Toro Tanaka. It was then the territory hit rock bottom. Channel 47 decided to shift McMahon's wrestling show from Saturday nights to Wednesday at 5:10 p.m., effective June the 4th. This new time slot was disastrous. Combined with wrestling being generally cold in the New York area, only 5,527 attended the June 30th show, main evented by Bruno against George Steele, another repeat challenger. This was the lowest attendance at MSG since February 22nd, 1949, the first show at Madison Square Garden since 1938, which famously bombed with Gorgeous George, the sensation of the West Coast, making his first appearance in New York City. A subsequent show, scheduled for July 21st, and to be headlined by Sammartino and Rivera against Tanaka and Mitsu Arakawa, was canceled. Once again, wrestling went dark at Madison Square Garden, as McMahon couldn't afford to promote shows that were drawing so poorly. But at this lowest moment, a turnaround started.
Listening to you, I get the music. Gazing at you, I get the heat. Following you, I climb the mountain. I get excitement at your feet. Right behind you, I see the millions on you. I see the glory.
The turnaround began with an improvement in their TV situation. Channel 47 offered McMahon a Saturday night slot at 8 p.m. to air a program coming from the Philadelphia Arena. The show had already been broadcast in other parts of the territory, but it was new to those in the New York area. And unlike the Washington show, it was broadcast in color. giving the action a fresh feel. McMahon's wrestling was revitalized, and he returned to the Garden on October 1st on a show that drew more than 10,000 fans. This was the start of a slow climb back for wrestling in New York City, and also in the larger Northeast McMahon territory. The show on October 1st was headlined by Bruno vs. Waldo Von Erich. The next show was on October 27th. 11,128 were on hand to see Bruno defeat Von Erich. 1969 came to a close with a show on December 8th. 10,878 were witness to Bruno facing a new challenger, the first in over a year, and a man who would become arguably Bruno's most legendary foe. Huge Russian heel Ivan Koloff was, like many foreign menaces in wrestling over the years, actually Canadian. He started as Irish Rogue Red McNulty in Western Canada in the mid-1960s. He first hit it big as Koloff in Montreal in 1968. He also had success in Toronto around the same time, and this is where Bruno first encountered him. Sammartino brought him into New York in 1969, and he would be an off-and-on attraction in the territory until 1983. Overall, he was a huge star from the late 60s into the mid-80s in various different areas. The two met again on the first MSG show of 1970, on January 19th. Here, 16,858, the highest attendance in nearly 3 years, saw Bruno defeat Koloff decisively. Despite the convincing loss to Sammartino, Koloff and his impressive drawing power against Bruno impressed Vince McMahon, and he was seen as someone with potential to be brought back for a future engagement. For the first time in years, the territory now had some momentum. 14,328 came to see Bruno defeat Karl Kovacs on March the 9th. Besides Koloff, several other new faces had gotten over big in the territory in the initial months of 1970. These new stars would begin to pay huge dividends as the summer of 1970 began. First of these new stars was the territory's newest manager, Lou Albano. As a wrestler, Albano had been a presence in the territory for years, often as part of a tag team known as the Sicilians with Tony Altimore. Bruno liked him, and he felt Albano's gift of gab could be valuable in getting over wrestlers to challenge him. So he advised McMahon to make him a manager, essentially replacing the less effective Tony Angelo. Albano's first protege was Crusher Verdoux. From Spain, Verdoux had drifted around wrestling for many years before getting his big break in New York City in 1970. He was given a huge push with the gimmick that he'd never been knocked down. He would never replicate the highs of 1970 and drifted around for the rest of the decade before vanishing from wrestling completely. Albano was amazing on interviews, hyping Verdoux and drawing heat. This led to Verdoux challenging Sammartino on June 15th at the Garden, before 20,819 fans. The first time every seat in the new Garden was full for a wrestling show, and the largest crowd for a wrestling show in New York since the heyday of Argentina Roca nearly a decade earlier. Verdoux won the match by blood stoppage, which led to a huge rematch on July 10th. Even more fans packed the Garden this time. 20,982. Here, Sammartino decisively defeated Verdoux. The July 10th show was also significant for being the MSG debut of another one of the new stars of the territory, Chief J. Strongbow, who would end up being the number two babyface in New York for much of the 1970s. Another factor in the increased attendance at MSG was the debut of yet another new act. With a unique look unlike anything seen in the territory before, the Mongols, Beppo and Guido had become a sensation. Beppo was the future Nikolai Volkov, who had begun wrestling in the late 1960s in Calgary. Guido was Newton Tatry, a Canadian journeyman who had been around since 1964. They met up in Calgary and came to New York City as the Mongols in April 1970. They were booked as an unstoppable force, almost like the Road Warriors of the 1970s. They won the international tag team titles, the belts recognized in the promotion at the time, at the June 15th show against Victor Rivera and Tony Marino. They would have a huge run in New York in 1970. They would go on to work in other territories and split up in 1973. Guido would recruit a new wrestler, Bill Eady, the future mass superstar in Demolition Axe, to replace Beppo as Bolo. And this version of the Mongols would continue until 1976. On August 1st, 17,864 were in attendance to see Bruno team with Victor Rivera and defeat the Mongols by disqualification. On September 4th, Beppo Mongol challenged Bruno for the WWWF title before 17,232 and won the match by countout. The blow-off came on October 23rd, when Bruno defeated Beppo in a Texas death match before 17,491. A very successful year for Bruno and for wrestling in New York came to an end on November 16th, with San Martino defeating Bulldog Brower. As 1971 dawned, Bruno had been champion now for 7.5 years, an amazing reign. He was banged up from over a decade of wrestling a heavy schedule, and he'd hurt his back significantly in 1968. He'd been wanting to work a reduced schedule for a while. At the same time, the Spanish-speaking audience was growing in the New York City area. The Los Angeles territory, featuring many Mexican stars, had not one but two TV shows in the New York City area by 1971, and both were very successful. Vince McMahon began to contemplate a major change. Bruno wanted time off, and the Spanish fans were increasing, and the time for a new top draw may be right. McMahon had someone in mind. But first, the title had to be moved off Bruno. A straight title change from one hero to the new hero wasn't how McMahon booked things. A transitional champion would be needed. Consulting with San Martino, he chose the man that had impressed him a year earlier, Ivan Koloff. Koloff returned to the territory in late 1970 and was given Lou Albano as his manager. In his previous run, he was managed by Tony Angelo, and it was pushed that with Albano now in his corner, he was now better prepared to challenge San Martino. The match was set for January 18th. It had also been pushed on TV a week before the match that Bruno had an injured shoulder and wasn't at 100%. After 14 minutes of action, Koloff body slammed San Martino and then went up to the top rope. He came off with a knee drop and hit Bruno with it. He covered him for the pin, and the referee counted 1, 2, 3. 21,166 spectators at Madison Square Garden were stunned into silence. Bruno had headlined 75 straight MSG programs, and it got to the point where nobody could really even fathom him losing. This was the upset of the century, and you could hear a pin drop in the garden after the 3 count. It was so quiet that San Martino himself has said that he thought he had suffered hearing loss. Because there was fear a riot may break out amongst the fans because of the loss of their Italian hero, Koloff wasn't even handed the belt in the ring, nor was he announced as champion. He merely just had his hand raised and was quickly rushed out of the ring. An era had come to an end. The new direction would be led by Puerto Rican Pedro Morales. He had fallen into wrestling in the New York City area as a teenager in the late 1950s. He had wrestled for McMahon in the early 1960s, and he became a big star in Los Angeles and San Francisco beginning around 1965. He returned to New York City in December 1970, billed as a United States champion. He would go on to defeat Koloff at the very next Madison Square Garden show on February 8th, the start of a near three-year run on top. As for Bruno, he fulfilled his desire to work a reduced schedule. He wrestled Guido Mongol on the February 8th card, defeating him in the semi-main event. He then appeared in the ring following the Koloff-Morales match and handed Morales the title, symbolizing the start of a new era. He would work the July 24th MSG show, defeating Blackjack Mulligan in only a minute. And that would be his last appearance at MSG for the remainder of the year. It was now the Pedro Morales show. But it wasn't easy erasing the legend of Bruno Sammartino from the minds of many fans. That brings us to the end of this episode. Next time, Bruno is a part-time presence in New York City as Pedro Morales draws huge numbers to the Garden. However, his relative lack of success outside of New York City sees McMahon clamor for a return of the legend. The living legend, as he is now known. Bruno retakes the throne and embarks on a second run, arguably more successful than the first, breaking records at Madison Square Garden during a time of violence and uncertainty in the Big Apple. Lastly, my sources for this episode were The History of Professional Wrestling, issue number 3, Madison Square Garden, researched by Fred Hornby, published by Scott Teal, Capital Revolution by Tim Hornbaker, various issues of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter by Dave Meltzer, WrestlingData.com, the history of the WWE website, and a pinch of Wikipedia. Join me next time at the Garden. Yes, you do. Well, if you've ever been to New York City, you know what I'm talking about. Jump around and shout. I met a little girl there. She was about 5'8". I said, I want you to love me. She said, wow, man, that'd be great. So I got long hair, but she took me back to see her pad.